We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm so happy to have each and every one of you from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful planet joining us today. I'm host Leah Mattinson, and it's my pleasure to welcome back to the show for his third showing, Dr. Ralph LaGuardia. Dr. LaGuardia, how are you today?
Good. How are you, Leah?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. And thank you so much for coming back on. If you've missed the previous podcast, please be sure to come over to the website, masteryourlife.ca, so that you can catch the recent or previous episodes. Now, Dr. LaGuardia has been in medicine for well over 30 years. Now, I know if you tune into this podcast and you see a smiling face, besides just listening, you'll go, how could you possibly been in medicine for over three decades and still be smiling the way that you are? Well, he's got some secrets up his sleeve. Yeah. He's got a wonderful wife. And he does organic farming along with having a very busy practice and being an author of three wonderful books, which we're going to be talking about in this episode, sort of midway. But to start with, we wanted to dive right in on talking about sort of what sort of the recent data is coming about out about the side effects of the, let's say, the injections. For women in particular, at least to start off this podcast, because it's such an important topic. So, Dr. LaGuardia, what can you share with the audience today? And again, thanks for coming back on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. There's been some studies where they took, in aggregate, they took all the studies and combined them and searched the data, did some data mining, and it was incredibly upsetting. Here's the numbers. Increase in menstrual abnormalities, 1,192-fold. Increase in miscarriage, 75-fold. This is measured worldwide. Increase in fetal malformation, 20-fold. Increase in fetal cardiac disease, 16-fold. Increase in fetal growth restriction, 25-fold. Increase in low amniotic fluid, 16-fold. Increase in preeclampsia, 24-fold. Preeclampsia is elevated blood pressure with the damage to the kidney causing protein. Increase in fetal death, 38-fold. These are civilization stage changing numbers here. You know, if these numbers are correct, and they seem to be from all the data that's coming in, it's catastrophic for reproduction around the world. And you superimpose this on a situation where male sperm counts are dropping 20% in the last decade worldwide. And you've got an extinction event if these numbers keep going in the same direction together. You have women unable to reproduce, as well as men unable to have enough sperm to impregnate them. At a certain point, those lines cross, and you have huge population drops if this plays out over time.
Mm-hmm. So huge civilization-changing event. I want that just to linger in people's minds a little bit. You know, this season, you know, the holiday season, we're so supposed to be celebrating life and all the sweetness of life and the wonderful savory things of life and reverence for life and for birth.
Right.
And here we are. I will speak as a mother and a grandmother. I am very outraged about this information that's coming out, and not the information, the harm that is being done to real human beings. It's devastating for women. It's devastating for their partners, their husbands, you know, who are watching their wives go through this stuff or their partners go through this stuff and not having an answer for how do you actually help, right? How do you help? How do you stop? How do you change the course of this quote unquote data? Because it's in real lives that this is happening. So And I, again, really happy to talk about this, because I think part of the problem is that it's very easy to brush aside the data. But in my own family, you know, Dr. LaGuardia, I've got people who've got blood clots that should be in perfectly good health and are spending hours and hours and hours in the emergency room. And then they wonder, well, where did this come from? How did this happen? And not only that, but they'll line up again and again and again for more injections.
I know even in my own practice, I'm seeing a huge spike in autoimmune disease in people who are vaccinated. Tinnitus, which is ringing in the ear. Pulmonary embolism, clots in your lung. DVT, clots in your legs. Strokes, heart attack, myocarditis. And young people never saw it before. Now they say the official rate is 15 to 20% of, especially men, injected with the vaccine develop myocarditis. However, there has been other studies out of Israel recently, and I believe in South Africa, the other country, where they say that not only is it, that's 1/15 or 1/10 of the actual number, the numbers are huge. And when they test everyone by testing D-dimer for blood clots, I was doing that myself a few years ago and had a 62% positive rate. And now they're saying virtually everyone they test that's vaccinated has a very low rate of elevated troponin level. Now, troponin is a protein that's released when the clots damage. And so we can measure it objectively. We know that. It's what we do to check for heart attack with for CK and troponin elevation with or without EKG changes. This is unbelievable. This is the case. Now, there's a strong school of thought that all these problems in the vaccine are caused by the spike protein that the vaccine makes the body make. And the presumption is that on a capillary level, there's microclots developing. Now, in some people that accelerates further, and they present with heart attack, strokes, pulmonary emboli, DVT. In other ones, it's a low smoldering effect. So they wind up with chronic fatigue, joint aches, muscle aches, and, you know, long-haul symptoms of COVID that so many people report. Now, it's difficult to diagnose long-haul because it's so nebulous. There's no test for it. There's nothing you can do except document what you have. So the data is really questionable. That's out there now. A lot of it's anecdotal and stuff. But long-haul COVID is certainly a syndrome, actually, in my office all the time. People who always say the same thing, I just don't feel the same. Repeatedly. And these are patients who are pro-vaccine. Most of my practice is vaccinated because in the hysteria at the time, very few of them asked me what I thought of it and just went out and did it. A lot of them had to do it for work and to travel and see their grandchildren and different things, so they were coerced into doing it. But among a large number among them complained of the same thing over and over again. I just don't feel the same. I'm tired all the time, my ears are ringing, I get headaches, I just feel lethargic. I'm just not myself. I will never do it again. That's why the revaccination rate is so low now. They're pushing the fifth jab. I believe it's 5% in the U.S. People are just opting out not to get it. They're afraid of it and they're sick of it.
And so why is it so important for people to pay attention to this age range of people who are experiencing this myocarditis? It's the working age population. Why does that matter so much?
It's also the military population.
Oh, military too. Oh, interesting. Right.
The military in the U.S. was forced vaccination on them. 100,000 of them were discharged with that because they wouldn't do it. I believe they let them back in now. But you force the rest of them to get vaccinated. And the military is right now experiencing the huge number of side effects from stroke, young soldiers. Heart attack, stroke, the same things we were just talking about, DVT, pulmonary emboli. And there's been whistleblowers that have come forward and said these numbers are astronomical. Of course, they've been silenced, as all critics of the vaccine, unfortunately, seem to get. And so, but eventually, these numbers come out because you can't ignore them. When the life insurance companies of America collectively report that there's a 40% rise in unexplained deaths in adults, which now has a syndrome similar to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, now SADS, sudden adult death syndrome. That's unbelievable. A 10% rise would be a black swan event, something that occurs every 200 years. yet they scratch their heads. We have no idea why this has happened. They're losing billions of dollars by playing it out because, as you know, their actuarial figure out everything to a penny. They know exactly how long you're going to live statistically, and these numbers are blowing their mind. So I think the narrative eventually is going to fall apart about the vaccine being safe. It can't continue because people will have to ignore their lying eyes. At a certain point, to say everything I see around me, people know, everyone knows someone who dropped dead unexpectedly. And so it's athletes worldwide. Between 1969 and 2020, at least 1,284 died over a 50-year span of playing all different sports. Then you have fast forward to 2021, and over 1,000 died last year. This year, I think they're up to 1,200 already.
1,000 athletes died, right, and 1,200 this year. Just think about that. That's mind-boggling. And so when you say the word unbelievable, I think that's part of the problem, though, Dr. LaGuardia, is people really don't believe it, because until it happens in your own family, and then also we want to discount, right, and go, well, you know, there was maybe some things going on beforehand that were, you know, underlying, you know, issues, and it's really hard for people to see this thing and to acknowledge that it's happening.
To make that argument for your Uncle Mel, he's old and, you know, overweight and drinker, but in good shape, and everyone was in the hospital, and he dropped dead, and now who knows what happened to him. However, when you see world-class athletes dropping, that's a news. And,
yes,
you know, you hear of all these young football players dying, it could be something. Basketball players dying unexpectedly. It's in the news constantly. Actors dying, you know, younger than you would expect them to. And so eventually, like I said, they are not going to be able to ignore it. However, damage is done. This is genetic changing. This was not just a vaccine. You know, I want to make it clear, I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm anti-COVID vaccine. I vaccinate my patients for other stuff. I have no problems with it. But the RNA vaccines were never intended for this. And they would initially, when they did the animal studies prior to COVID, they stopped them because all the animals died. And then when COVID came, they fast-tracked everything and ignored, you know, did not do animal studies, rarely animal studies, and vaccinated, still trying to vaccinate the entire population of Earth. They raised $1 billion the other day from the U.S. government to help vaccinate the third world. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I want to bring up for people also, when it's like, because it is feels unbelievable. But if you actually in Canada, because you go, oh, that must happen in third world countries. Oh, that must happen where there's stuff that's, you know, completely inhuman or completely uncivilized, because that's what it seems. It seems like there's all these actions that are anti-nature and uncivil. But in good old Canada here, I was just reading on, if anyone wants to check out this publication, it's interesting, druthers.net. And they had that currently now there's a big push in Canada for doctors to, combat avoidance behavior. So the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario is now encouraging its doctors to prescribe drugs or recommend psychotherapy to patients who have refused to receive a COVID shot.
Right.
So they're
as if they're mentally ill.
As if they're mentally ill. And then to add like insult to injury, now also Canada just recently has really got into the vibe of MAID, of this assisted suicides for everybody, you know, so for even children, they're talking about that as a viable solution for children and not advising the parents. And I'm talking children, not 17, 18-year-olds who are also children, by the way. So up until just very recently, it wasn't okay to kill somebody.
Right.
And now it seems like it's okay to kill them.
There are people crying out saying, no, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Eliminate children, and can eliminate the mentally ill, and can eliminate people who have diseases and are depressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there has to be some morality somewhere. Someone has to draw a line and say, enough, we're not doing this. Step back, look at what we're doing. This hysteria has brought us all to the brink of extinction with all these other problems.
Yes. And so why do you think that is, that people actually have completely lost the plot on why life is important?
I don't know. I think about that a lot. I think there's just fear. I mean, they came out so strongly against physicians, for example. California, you lose your license if you come out against the vaccine. They brought that to court now. They're trying to fight it. But that's unbelievable. Never before, when I first trained in the 80s, we were encouraged to debate things. That was what science is about.
Right.
Person with the stronger argument wins, and you learn from it. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but either way, you learn a lot from it. And that was the exciting part. In the doctor's lounge, we would have great debates about stuff. It was routine. And now it's taboo. All of a sudden, you can't debate. You can't question the vaccine. And that's that whole transhumanism agenda that is being pushed by the Great Reset and the World Economic Forum. That's just unbelievable. And it extends even to the schools here in the United States. They're pushing transgenderism as a viable option. And same thing you were saying earlier. They're pushing children to be able to have sexual reassignment without the parents being involved. And the parents get involved, they're against it. They censor them and say, oh, you're hateful, you're transphobic, and all this other crazy stuff. We want to allow kids to drive. We're allowing them as young as 2 or 3 to decide what sex they are. Mm-hmm. And kids are confused enough as it is. Then you hit them with this constant barrage of maybe you're not a boy. Maybe you're not a girl. It's demonic. And it upsets me to no end. So I think, how could people put up with this? People realize what's going on, which was the only good thing to come out of COVID. The parents were able for once to listen to what was being taught to their children and human and say, what is this, the crazy racism and critical race theory and things that they're pushing that is just totally against everything we believe as a Western democracy. We're supposed to be colorblind and we've become obsessed with race. It should be the opposite. I personally believe they shouldn't even ask what race you are on an application. Why? What's the importance of it? Either blank. Why is it even on college applications? But yet, it's become the most important thing of all, which is crazy.
Right. Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And so do you think in response that parents who have seen this is a usurping of culture in their own families, do you think they've been responsive in any way, or do you think that they're just frozen in outrage and really haven't been able to do too much?
I think they've been responsive. I only know the United States for the most part. Mm-hmm. And in the United States, there's been a lot of very tumultuous school board meetings where parents have stood up of all races and said, we don't want that. This is crazy. This is not what we do. We don't want our kids taught racism, taught that white blacks are victims and whites are oppressors and craziness. We don't want transgenderism. Sexual exploitation of children. We don't want transgender strippers and all this craziness. We brought a regular heterosexual stripper and he was all crazy. And rightly so. But in both directions it worked. But once again, the Biden administration had people come out to the Justice Department and they went after the parents as domestic terrorists. And intimidate them, go to their houses and stuff. People are just exercising their First Amendment rights. And speaking up at a school board meeting, what's happening around the country, Virginia, happened. They lost the governorship to Glenn Youngkin because he was for the parents and against them. And all the parents rose up, and a lot of them were Democrats, rose up and said, this is crazy. We don't want this. And they swept them into power. So I think there's an underlying movement smoldering in the United States that's growing, certainly, for this. Because parents are very upset about it. Don't upset mama bear. You know what happens.
That's right. I do know. I do know.
Mama bear yourself.
That's right. I'm a grandma bear of about six, not about, of six. And yeah, this whole dysphoria of this thing is completely blown out of proportion. And there was early in my training, because I'm a counselor by trade. So in the early 90s, there was a big push in Canada to change the sexual orientation in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms here in Canada. And I protested against that. And people said to me, well, why are you, doing it? And when I say protest, I didn't go stand outside the legislature. I was part of the sexual abuse treatment organizations that operated around the province of Alberta, helping to identify offenders and sexual abusers, et cetera. So trying to get this stopped early on. And people would say, like, why are you doing that? And I said, well, because as soon as you open up the charter and sexual orientation, it isn't going to be just the people who are like the small amount of people who are actually maybe have some gay, the gay thing going on biologically. You have this whole other group of people who are really pushing it. At that time, it hasn't changed, was NAMBLA, which is the National Man Boy Love Association. And that's, and I know maybe we're talking out of scope, but I really want people to understand how long this stuff has been going on, because that had already been going on for millennia at this whole push to take over the kids and to take over families. So here we are now, you know, in 2022, the end of 2022, and it's like people have lost any touch with nature. You know, like this whole not being natural about anything. And we do have two genders. And, you know, as a grandmother, I will say that. And that Tavistock, I've been speaking, ringing the bell about Tavistock for probably 30 years also. Like people, now you can easily find out about mind control programming because you can Google it and see that it's been done on the worldwide population. And so it's all been done to all people all over the world. And so part of that is the acceptance or the pushing of this whole sexual orientation for a very long time. But Tavistock just got closed down, supposedly. And I just laughed when I read this article about Tavistock's gender, the gender reassignment program. And you guys can all look it up. Do your research about Tavistock. It'll say it's closed down. But what's really happened is that these programs have been migrated out to other small places in the country so that they can manage the program on more of a community level or a local level. The program's been around forever. At Tavistock, the institution's been around for a very, very long time. So, you know, for us, innocence, what it feels like is that sometimes you're like a deer in the headlights. You just go, well, where did that come from? And right. Like, this is so outlandish. Can it actually be true? Right. It's unbelievable because it actually feels like it's completely unbelievable. But people have been thinking about how to make us as confused and befuddled and bewildered as they possibly can and sick for a very long time. You know, right. So you've written a book. Maybe we could focus in on your books because they kind of address these, you know, times that are not sure and help people to inform themselves about how they can actually deal with things, you know, that they're maybe coming up against in their autoimmune issues, problems in their children's health. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. There's, the autoimmune issues are myriad now, especially because vaccine activated all autoimmunity. So you had Sjogren's or Hashimoto's or rheumatoid arthritis or lupus. After your vaccination, you really have to flare up. And I've seen that universally. Everyone who's vaccinated seems to get worse with that. And, you know, overall, my book, The Infected Secrets from the Medical Underground, addresses how to treat problems and how to keep yourself healthy. And I basically do it with all non-prescription ways to do that. And all of even the long haul treatments that the frontline doctors, I think COVID and various groups have promoted, all say they kind of overlap with my protocol. They include vitamin D, vitamin C, quercetin. They also mention in theirs that other things they like to give for long haul. They like to give prednisone, ivermectin, low dose naltrexone, intermittent fasting. Stuff called spermidine and resveratrol, melatonin, and omega-3 fatty acids. I like the prescription ones, the Lovaz and Oskepa, only because there's no mercury in them. But you can get good quality ones on, you know, the county that are fine. Life Extension Foundation is really good at that. And so people can do all that, but I teach them in the book and how to do it. And I particularly get into how to treat had to boost your immune system, and I have a thing called the Gang of Seven, which is really useful, and I find it to be, I look for the Achilles heel of viruses and try to strike it where it is. And the Achilles heel of viruses is one of them in zinc. Viruses, zinc doesn't kill viruses, it prevents them from replicating, which does the same thing from our point of view. But you have to get it into the cell. And getting into the cell requires a ionophore, meaning something carrying ion across the cell membrane. and hydroxychloroquine does that. And for that prescription. And, you know, of course, they demonize it. I did demonize ivermectin. You know, ivermectin is on the World Health Organization of the, you know, 500 best drugs for mankind. Right. Because it's done so much against river blindness and other things in Africa. But they still demonize it. And they demonize hydroxychloroquine. Well, we used it for years for rheumatoid arthritis and for lupus with no black box warning on it. It was all the same. More internally, I never had problems with it. Talking about it. But anyway, quercetin does the same thing. It's nionophore, plant-based bioflavonoid. And quercetin acts like a cloaking device and allows zinc to enter the cell. And so if you give high-dose zinc with quercetin, then it goes into the cell, prevents the virus from replicating. Then I give vitamins A, B, and C, because vitamin A prevents all mucosal infections. It promotes the immune system, the mucosal, the nasal mucosal, the lungs, etc. It all, vitamin D boosts the immune system, and vitamin D works against all respiratory viruses. In fact, I haven't had a flu shot in 30 years, and I'm a primary care doctor. I'm exposed to flu all day, every day. It gets to town, but I keep my vitamin D on the side, and that works for it. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, people say, oh, my God, it's not vitamin D deficient. It just happens in winter because it comes out of China. Well, it's true. It comes out of China in the Far East because in the Far East, they have the only place in the world where they keep pigs and ducks together. And you can't get flu, for example, you can't get it from a pig direct, duck directly. But the wild birds give it to the ducks give it to the pig, and the pigs give it to you. And so that's why every year the CDC goes to Asia and looks in various spots and tries to find the upcoming flu. Well, by the time flu season hits the United States, that's December or January. But that's also the nadir for vitamin D level. We know that from studies on submarine cells. The Navy studied them. They went undersea in September with good vitamin D levels. They did not supplement them, and they checked them periodically. And by December, they were done. Because it's fat soluble, so you're storing your fat. That's why you have to take your fat. And so you don't, you'll get a certain amount of reserves that you can use for it. By the time winter comes, you've been out of sunlight. You're not producing anymore, you're not supplementing it, then you're susceptible to flu and all respiratory viruses.
Yeah, and immunity is so important. You mentioned a hot tip in one of our other interviews, so I'm just going to reiterate it. And that is to take the vitamin D with a fat.
Yeah.
Yes.
Vitamins come in two types, fat soluble and water soluble. Soluble is only dissolved. All vitamins are fat soluble except B and C. B and C are water soluble, so you take those on empty stomach, they'll dissolve in water. All the rest, if you don't take them in your multivitamins, if you don't take that with a fatty meal, it's going right through you. And those people say, oh my God, what's a fat? I said, well, if you're not sure, any oil is a fat at room temperature. And so you can put olive oil on a salad, and that'll be enough fat. Eggs will be, you know, enough fat, and yolk, your pizza, anything you want. Normally, when you're eating a meal, it's okay. Mm-hmm. So I tell patients all the time, just take it with dinner. You know, or I give it to them weekly if I don't give it to them.
Yeah, very hot tip. That's a really important one and can save you thousands of dollars over your lifespan of just taking vitamins that don't work. And you keep going, why do I not feel better? Well, because you never took it with the thing that would activate it. So very important. And thank you for that.
The mistake they made in all the vitamin D studies, I read them all. Mm-hmm. I business read them all because I was very curious about this. And not one of them said to take it with fat. So of course, they had mixed results on it, whether vitamin D works for COVID, blah, 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 you know, and as a supplement. However, we do know, and all their own sterile studies show the same thing, upon entry to the hospital, lower your vitamin D level, the higher your mortality.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not willing to treat it with vitamin D, which is the craziest thing to me. They recognize that low is dangerous, but we're not going to supplement it because we have no studies that prove it because our studies were done randomly without taking it with fat. So had, you know, that bad result from it.
Right. And it's this is, I think, the crossroads where it's time also for people to be their own best lab rat. So it's like, check out how things work on you. And if you're sentient enough, if you pay attention enough to what's going on in your physical body, you can feel changes pretty quickly in how you feel. And if your health is improving, but you do have to pay attention to how you feel, which is part of the problem, because a lot of us don't pay any attention to how we feel until we get into a problem with our health. And then we go, ooh,
Right. There's no gray zones. Black and white, most people. I feel good. I feel sick.
That's right. I feel good. I feel sick. I feel good. So no matter where you are, we love you. So that's all good. The we want you to feel healthy because that would be a better option. But in terms of these injections and the MNRA, you know, the genetic stuff not being able to be changed, I guess I'm of the belief, because we have Huntington's disease in our family, that you can change some of your genetics, the epigenetics around some things. You can improve your health and your lifestyle. And I wonder if Huntington's wasn't the result of some former experimentation, really, because it's kind of this very rare thing. And so what do you think? Do you really think it would be completely that you can't come back from it? This thing is holding, it looks like it's held in testes, ovaries, and the brain.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the long-haul symptom, memory fog. What it does is it damages the blood-brain barrier and allows the spike protein to enter. And that has pro-inflammatory effects inside the brain. Once you inflame the brain, where you get headaches, you get fatigue, you get slight confusion and kind of fogginess to the brain. And those are all tinnitus, ringing in the ears, damages the cranial nerves with the hearing. And so you wind up with neurological damage. And you wind up, there have also been studies showing it accelerates the aging of the brain. It's really upsetting, by decades. There's a year or two into it, they're looking at the brains and they're, wow, look at this, these brains look old. And so I think we're right in the middle of this, so it's really hard to say what's causing what, and we don't have enough studies yet to prove everything. But clearly, stuff is going on, and just the number of strokes, and also the spike protein damages the small blood vessels in the brain, which feed the neurons, and so you wind up with this low-grade smoldering inflammation, small blood clots in the brain, as with everywhere else, and everything downstream from blood clot dies. So you have neuronal die off and stuff, and the brain changing itself. And so this is all, there's no good coming from any of it.
Mm-hmm. And we have to deal with our own physical health as well as the physical health of the people in our family or that we live with and that are dealing with the outcomes of these injections. So it's very complex, because if you're dealing with somebody that's actually got mental confusion, and you're trying to assist them, like that's very, it's hard to do. And anyone who's dealt with somebody with dementia of any kind knows how hard it is to do, to talk people or be rational or get people to finish things. You know, just, I was working with somebody and really in 2020, in early 2020 or mid 2020, on a business thing. And it's somebody who's been very successful in their business life. And I was like, what is going on with this person that they cannot actually seem to get this deal done, this work done? And then it occurred to me, oh, every one of the other people on the team had been injected. And these are people who'd had track records of, you know, 30 years of being very successful in business. And it was an expensive year of learning for me, because I just kept counting. I was thinking, I can count on you people to actually follow through and get stuff done. Nope. Not at all. So it was very,
it's everywhere. Anger is becoming a real issue. A lot more road rage, a lot more shootings, a lot more assault and stuff. And you think, once again, the anger can be the inflammation of the brain. So if you add all this up, the reproductive nightmare in both men and women, cardiac issues, universally, especially in young men, all of the other disease cancer rates are going crazy. You look at it in strokes, heart attacks, pulmonary embolism, etc. There's no way to stop this. This thing is cascading. The only way to do it possibly is to start treating people, for long haul type COVID symptoms, just to see, and boost their immune system by gang of seven that value in vitamins A, C, D, quercetin, zinc, selenium, and iodine. All of those supplements work together and work great for that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I'm a strong believer in moving your body or moving the energy through your body. One of the things that's been a big gift to me in my life of dealing with Huntington's is Qigong. And so, you know, you're moving your body, you're activating things. So you're shedding old cells faster because you're actually moving things through your body, where I think a lot of people don't move at all. And then that actually sedentary position, they're taking pills and trying to take stuff to change what's going on with their physiology and neurology. But if you're not moving anything, it slows everything way down. Like you're expecting your system to process, you know, whatever it is you're ingesting, including your food, without really activating things. So what do you think about that, Dr. LaGuardia?
Well, yeah, I think you're spot on with that. I mean, part of the treatment for long haul is intermittent fasting. Because that has your body clear itself out and cleanse itself and remove dying cells and stuff, and promote autophagy, which gets rid of a weak cell. But you're right. I mean, you have to have the whole picture. You have to have a nutritional component. And as we discussed in the earlier shows, the soils are so depleted right now.
Right.
That all the minerals and trace elements are just not there.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just replacing them with NPK, which is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. They're not doing any of the other trace elements. So iodine, all the other essential ones in the soils are depleted. And then people on low salt diets are not getting the iodine. So there's a universal lack of iodine. And that has, once again, has unbelievably bad consequences for reproduction. We know for a fact that iodine deficiency leads to cretinism in the brain. But once again, medicine does seem to pick up the things that are low, but not learn how to correct them. The guy, what is his name? Jorge Fleches, Fleches, did a lot of work in that. He was in Virginia studying iodine. And fascinating result. He said if you supplement iodine in pregnant women, it raises the IQ 20 points on average in the future. But why aren't we supplementing universally? You know, why aren't obstetricians saying they want to take kelp tablets daily, eat liver? We used to tell them eat liver once a week when they were pregnant. Liver is a nutritional powerhouse. It's full of trace elements, minerals, enzymes, proteins, everything your body needs. And eggs, fresh butter, milk, whole milk, not skim milk. All those things were great for you. And we used to do that in pregnant women and they had healthy, strong children. And now we're not doing it, and there's no reason for it. It always shocked me that they're not doing that. But anyway, so if you supplement all of those things in your diet, I actually do have a product that has all seven of my things that Prosper Wellness they sell it there in Prosper Wellness. But those products you can buy it yourself and put them together. It's not hard to do. In my book, I outline exactly how to do it for you. It's very cheap. They're all over the counter. And it all has nothing but beneficial side effects. That's what I love about it.
Right. So I do want to say something about that, though, is that sometimes it's easy to do stuff, but it's easy when you say it fast. So people are busy and like life is complicated and people have lots going on. And so I want to encourage people to it's like getting your hands on a good recipe book and then actually following through with the recipes that are in it so that you can see improvements in your health and your brain. And if it's easier for you to buy a supplement because you can't see yourself kitchen witching, so to speak, if you're not going to sit there with your mortar and pestle and be, you know, mixing up your stuff or whatever is your fun thing. If you're just too busy or if you've taken an injection and your cognitive functioning isn't there to be able to actually put the pieces together, because that could be very true and that is okay. It is okay, because that is actually what's happening for people, is to give yourself a pass and go, how could I most easily get this formula into me so that I can see some improvement in my health and well-being? Because it's really, really hard when you're confused to do things that even were maybe easy 2 years ago. You might just go, man, I can't figure out how to put my shoes on, you know, or my socks on 1 foot at a time. And because there is that much confusion, please help yourself to get supplements or formulas that are already, you know, ready for you to be able to ingest and to take them and try to see if you can restore your mental well-being, because your brain function and your thinking are connected.
Yeah.
Like you can't think without a healthy brain. And so if it's been assaulted, by the, that's just one thing. I mean, there's assaults going on all the time of our brains. So
the infectious assault, they're toxins. We live in a toxic world.
Yes.
And we're exposed to stuff all day long. You know, as soon as you get up in the morning, I mean, you know, a little thing. You're brushing your teeth, you're washing your hair. Think of all the chemicals you're applying to yourself. And
yeah.
You clean your mouth, you're putting deodorant on, you're doing all these things. And then you go out into the world where there's pollution, there's a toxin. I mean, there's allowable toxins in all of our foods to certain levels, which really shocked me. and the foods, as I said, are on depleted soil. So the best thing you can do for your health, if you're capable, is to grow your own foods and do it organically and supplement the soil. And I teach you how to do that in all three of my books. Well, two of my books, not infected, but in the Bible, Alternative Medicine, and Doomsday Book. I teach you how to supplement the soil. But strong soil makes strong plants. You don't need insecticides. You don't need pesticides. You don't need fungicides. A strong plant will resist all that, resist pests and stuff. Get a few weeds eaten, but it's not going to get sick over it. And those plants will nourish you the way God intended it for us.
Yeah,
giving us all the tools here. He's telling us all the things you get. And so it's not that hard to do if you have the land. You don't need a lot, a small garden plot. You can raise, enough food to sustain you and your family.
Right. And I'm really passionate about this because so many people have poor food sources. And I live in Canada. You know, we're not able to grow food for at least 8 months of the year. And so one of the things I'd encourage people to do is come to the website again, masteryourlife.ca, and just look on the shop page. And there is a tower garden there. I think it's by Juice Plus, but they have them in stock. So you can actually grow food year round in your house inside. And you can teach your kids how to grow food or your grandchildren. And it's a fun activity and you know what's going into that food. So you don't have to just have a big plot or an organic garden. You can actually grow it right inside your own home in a very small footprint. And again, you know what? We can't even get lettuce here right now.
Why?
I have no clue. Can't get romaine lettuce anywhere. You can, and that's been going on for at least 6 weeks. 6 weeks.
Chain deficiencies.
Yeah, got to be something.
In Connecticut, we lose stuff. We can't get cream cheese for a while. Certain things you can't get. Not certain yogurt.
Right. So these are real. They're real things, though, right? So where you go, if that's been a staple in your life that you've, ate Caesar salad because you're doing keto dieting and you're trying to stay, with a healthy fat and et cetera, et cetera. I'm just throwing that one out there because it's a family favorite. And we're like, no romaine, what the heck?
I'm a big romaine fan myself.
So this is real issues because then you have to actually, adjust what you're eating. And so if you're getting food sources from places that you know are not that great, then it's, there are solutions around it. Do they take a little time and energy to put together? Maybe a little bit, but at least there's options.
And it connects the children to the land.
Yes.
The only thing, which is nothing more. They'll stay with them for their whole life.
Yes.
Stuff that happens.
Yeah, definitely. And so with your other two books, you have Infected and Doomsday. Can you just tell the audience a little bit about each one of those books as we sort of take out the show?
Yeah, the Doomsday Book of Medicine was my first book. It was written in 2015. It was because I was a prepper, and it drove me crazy that there was no good prepping book, medical prepping book. They were nonsense. They would say things like, you're bit by a snake, call poison control. And this is a post-apocalypse thing. It's crazy. It was just stupid. It was like a first aid book.
Right. Well, that's funny.
Doing a disservice to everyone. So I wrote this, which is 910 pages. And goes from head to toe and teach you how to treat every medical problem, but doesn't give you one way to do it. It gives you 15 or 20 ways to treat it.
Hey, let's talk about the snake bite.
Yeah. Well, I talk about different things. In fact, it was funny because in snake bite, I shouldn't use that for an example. In snake bite, I was very realistic. I said, well, it depends on the snake. I said, and I have a section called Kiss Your Ass Goodbye. Now it's part of the thing there. So of all the things you picked, you had to pick that one. But,
you picked it first.
And so I give practical advice to a lot of the things.
Yes.
I tell them how to use activated charcoal poultices on bites and stuff to help draw out the venom in different movements.
Right. So, and hope you have a good friend with you that doesn't mind cutting and spitting or something.
Right, sucking out the venom.
Sucking and spitting. Exactly.
But, you know, but overall, it empowers people because it's written in a very user-friendly format. And it's all stuff that can get over the counter without prescription. And so people have written me from all over the world and said, oh, my God, this is so good. You know, it changed my life. I could take care of problems myself and address them. In the second book was The Bible of Alternative Medicine. It was pretty much a similar book. And it covers the same stuff. It doesn't have the prepping aspect that the first book had. And it just lays out, because I found that most people really are interested in alternative medicine, but have no idea where to start.
Right.
And so they love the idea of it, but they just don't know what to do. And so I wrote a handbook for them, that same thing, from head to toe. It treats all kinds of things. But both my books start off with the essentials for health: sleep, hydration, nutrition, you know, different things like that. But yeah, sunlight, things that you have to get. I mean, sunlight is so amazingly, you know, undervalued, in fact, demonized, unfortunately, by dermatologists who think that all sunlight leads to melanoma. And it's just absolutely not true. I mean, if you look at it, I live here in New England. I love looking at old books and see pictures of old Yankee farmers who are all Northern European stock: German, Irish, Scandinavian, Polish, Russian. And they weren't dark. They weren't Italians. And they were, all of them, by the end of the summer, had deep tan because they were out all year round. They weren't wearing sunblock. They didn't die of skin cancer. None of them got skin cancer. It was because their skin got acclimated the way you were supposed to be with nature. As the days got longer, their exposure got longer. And so, consequently, they were never burned. Melanoma comes from repeated burn, not from the sun exposure. And there's higher, and that's evidenced by the fact that construction workers have a lower rate of it than office workers. It would be the opposite of the sun exposure.
And I can testify to that, speaking as someone who lived in the Okanagan, and I'm very fair-haired, and I would definitely tan up or freckle up, whichever. But I always felt good being outside and in the sun, you know, always.
It lowers your blood pressure. It lowers your cholesterol because the backbone for vitamin D, which is made from sunlight, is cholesterol. It builds on that. So it lowers your cholesterol, lowers your blood pressure, improves your mood, builds stronger bones, prevents cancer and heart disease long-term, all by raising vitamin D levels. But amazingly good benefits for you.
Yeah.
I'd rather be outside than inside.
That's wonderful. And we're out of time again. Dr. Ralph LaGuardia, could you hold up your book again, the last one, just so people, the alternative book? Okay, oh, that's Doomsday, the other one. I just want people to get a look at the cover of it. Okay, great. Yeah, Bible of Alternative Medicine. So pick up your copy today for your friends or your family or your loved ones. Go ahead. Infected, yes. Secrets of Medical Underground. Yeah, so thank you. And so I would say, to add to that little recipe, love.
That's right. You're right. That's the biggest component.
That's a big one. So much gratitude.
Well.
Yes. It does. That's true, too. Much gratitude to you, Dr. Ralph LaGuardia, for joining me today once again. Everyone, love yourselves. Love each other. Mind your minds. Take care of your health. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.